now if you get yourself all in a tizzy over a well-turned phrase. And if new idiom sets your heart aflutter, then my next guests are absolutely the apple of your eyes. Helen and Olivia are the expressionists, dedicating their podcast to lifting the lid on idiom. And you can hear it straight from the horse's mouth right now. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Nick.
I'm a bit of a tizzy myself this morning.
You are in a bit of a tizzy, aren't you?
Well, I just power walked in here, so that's why.
Well, that'll do it to you. Now, what's the next episode dedicated to?
Well, the next episode, which is in fact our final episode for our second season.
Don't tell me that. No.
We're just going on a break and
okay,
we'll be back.
All right.
It's all about tea.
Tea, as in the beverage.
The bevy, yes.
Tea.
Yes.
Okay.
Who doesn't love a good cup of tea? But before we get into that, Nick, can I just mention something to your fine listeners? We have actually entered in the Australian Podcast Awards.
Congratulations.
And everyone should vote for us.
I'm comfortable with you endorsing
Great.
That show.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And I'll hand over to Helen, who's going to talk tea first.
Nick. You look a little bit like you need a cup of tea, a Bex, and a good lie down.
Oh, that takes me back.
Doesn't it just? So obviously that means you're having a bit of a day, a bit stressed. You just need to relax. Maybe you're in a tizzy even. So Bex, for those who haven't encountered this before, was an Australian brand of a painkiller, which was very popular in the 50s and 60s. It was made of 42% aspirin, 42% phenacetin, and a little bit of caffeine.
Sure.
Sounds like a dream.
Pep you up. And so it was marketed especially to women with the slogan, stressful day, what you need is a cup of tea, a Bex, and a good lie down. And so it appeared, this ad, in magazines like Australian Women's Weekly all the time. And the ad is like a kind of poster, and it reminds me a little bit of those Keep Calm and Carry On kind of
little bit
formatted thing. And it's in blue, big blue letters on a kind of garish, lurid yellow background. So it was a strong message, and women liked it. So obviously there are this kind of, you know, housewives taking a bit of a pick-me-up kind of prescription medicine thing was a bit of a global trend at the time. So the Rolling Stones had a hit song in 1966 with Mother's Little Helper, which refers to other calming prescription drugs like Valium, which were increasingly popular with housewives. And then there's all those dangers that are associated with having a daily prescription drug habit, like overdose and addiction and that kind of thing. But Bex had the added distinction of leading to kidney disease, which was discovered by an Australian, South African-born Australian doctor called Professor Priscilla Kincaid-Smith, who was a nephrologist. And so eventually it was banned in the late 70s. So this is like an amazing kind of...
It's got so dark so
quickly.
Yeah,
so dark so quickly. But in 1965, 66, there was actually a successful comedy review play at a theatre down in Phillip Street here in Sydney, which was known for such reviews, which was called A Cup of Tea, Bex, and A Good Lie Down. And it starred people like Ruth Cracknell.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I also felt like that when I saw her name.
Oh, she's still alive.
No.
Oh.
No, she's not.
Sad.
I also had to go through that. Oh, she did die. Oh, that's so sad. Yeah, she's not with us anymore.
This is a real roller coaster for this particular segment.
We're all in a tizzy here. We all need a Bex and a lie down after this. So now,
don't forget the tea, Helen.
Don't forget the tea. Well, so the tea seems to play a bit of a bit part in this review, I suppose. But I suppose you dissolve the Bex in your tea, and then maybe have it in water on the side. I don't know.
No, I think that would be right, because I listened to this other podcast that was about the Valium that all these housewives were taking, especially in the States. And they used to also, they'd have these parties and dissolve it in cocktails as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So.
Great idea. And then all just have a snooze together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so the phrase is now used to dismiss anyone who, like ourselves, maybe is a bit hysterical or maybe just a dissatisfied, underappreciated housewife. And Kevin Rudd, for example, told the media that they needed to have a Bex and a good lie down in 2011 when they asked if he was planning to challenge Julia Gillard.
I do remember that.
And then so he had obviously a nice long lie down until 2013 when he did.
Yeah.
Can't keep that man down. It's interesting though that he should say that, because he's also a man who brought back to public prominence the Ice Vovo with this cup of tea that they were going to have.
And Fair suck of the Sav.
That's right.
Or was it sauce bottle he said?
I think he said sauce
bottle. He said it a bit more dorkily than...
Yeah.
than you could.
Which seems right, considering who he is. There you go, Kev. An idiom ambassador, we might call him.
That's right.
Probably the only ambassador he's ever going to be, sadly. That was a bit mean.
That was throwing a little bit of shade, wasn't it?
Sorry. Is it my turn now?
It's your turn.
You might say that I just raised a bit of a storm in a teacup.
Yeah, maybe.
Not really. Anyway, but let's just go with it. So storm in a teacup, obviously, it's making a big commotion or sort of getting very angry or upset about something that is, you might say, a bit of a trifle. And so there are some tenuous variants of this idiom dating back to the late 16th and early 17th century. But what's great about this idiom is that it actually first appeared in a couple of different iterations. So in 1678, it appeared in some collection of some Irishman's manuscripts as a storm in a cream bowl.
Storm in a cream bowl.
Yeah, which I think is quite nice.
It doesn't have the same ring though, does it?
No. Then a little later in 1830, in a gentleman's magazine, it appeared as a storm in a washhand basin. I feel like I've written that down wrong, but I don't think I have. Anyway, a storm in a basin for washing your hands. And so it's not until 1872 that it appears as a storm in a teacup in a novel by a Scottish author. But what's interesting is that it didn't appear to be set as storm in a teacup by this point. Even later, it appeared in another English novel as a storm in a slop basin, which is a bit gross, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's a bit unpleasant.
But you know what really surprised me about this idiom, Nick, is that would you believe it actually comes from ancient Rome?
No, I would never believe that.
No, because did they even drink tea?
It doesn't sound right. Sure, they must have had something that they soaked in water. I mean, everyone does.
Maybe.
It's
anyway.
An easy way of preparing something, just soak it in water.
It is true. That is 100% true. But tea, I don't know.
Tea is a specific plant.
Yeah.
We can't muddy the waters by calling all of those other teas actual proper tea.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. We're going to get some angry
tweets
about
that. Can of worms.
Yeah, we are opening a can of worms on that.
Right. So it's, in a first century BCE work by Cicero called De Legibus, which is sort of a work about the laws, and it appears in this. I mean, I was going to go with trying to say the Latin, but I think I'll just not.
Yeah.
To translate it, it was, he's saying, for Gratidius, so he's talking about this guy, Marcus Gratidius, who was a Roman statesman, and a bit of a shit stirrer, apparently. So Gratidius raised a tempest in a ladle, as the saying is. So the ladle, simpulo, is this special ladle used for sacrifices. So I think it actually isn't a tea reference. So once again, the link is kind of tenuous, but people seem to be pretty general agreement out there that that's where it came from. What's interesting is that the same saying appears in a bunch of different languages in very similar ways. So there's lots of storms in teacups and lots of storms in glasses of water. In Korean, it's a typhoon in a teacup. In Yiddish, it's a tempest in a spoon of water. And in Chinese, it's to make winds and waves or sort of to make a crisis in a teacup and a storm in a teapot. But what I liked the most were the couple of languages where it was totally different. So in Nepali, it's to make molehills, which we have obviously
a mountain.
Mountain or molehill. But in Bengali, it's taking a sesame for a palmyra fruit.
I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
Yep. Try and use that in a sentence today.
Well, look, the only one I track down, which I'm particularly fond of always, is what's that got to do with the price of tea in China, which, of course, we know is when someone brings something up irrelevant. Right back to the 19th century, it was, of course, about London's economics. Price of tea in China had a great deal to do with the prosperity of London at the time.
Of course.
So there was a great deal of concern around it. Now, we are rapidly running out of time. Where can people listen in, or how do people get their hands on this final episode for season two?
You can listen to it on our website, that's expressionist.audio, or you'll find us on any podcast player. And you can track us down and tell us your feelings about tea on Twitter. We're at X Podcast.
And tell me, how long are we going to wait till season three? I know, that's putting you on the spot really cruelly. But
TBC.
TBC, 6 to 8 weeks. But not to worry, in the meantime, why don't you go back and re-listen to the back catalogue? You probably have forgotten some of the great facts you learned.
Heartily recommend this very much. Olivia and Helen, thank you very much.